Please have your Bible open at Acts chapter 28. Our series is all to do with truth having a balance, complementary truth. Who can remember what we looked at last week?
Judge and judge not.
Okay, so the Christian is called to judge with righteous judgment, but he's certainly not to have a critical, harsh spirit and become a judgmental person. So we looked at what does it mean to judge with righteous judgment and what does it mean judge not. And this evening we're going to look at the theme of favor and disfavor. There are many truths in Scripture which we need to hold in balance. For example, God is transcendent. He is above all things or thrones or principalities or powers, beyond the universe, beyond our minds. He's transcendent. But he's not only transcendent, he's imminent. He's very near to his people. And if you say he's only transcendent, you have a God like Allah, like the Muslims worship, a distant God who can never be known. But if you only have an imminent God, you have a God who becomes pally-pally, just like one of us. You need to have the God of the Scriptures, both transcendent, far beyond us, beyond our minds, beyond our understanding, and yet one who has made himself known in the person of Jesus Christ, who is near to us in him. Another important theme that I'd like us to consider one Sunday is this. I'd like to consider the fact of the individual and the corporate. As individuals, we follow Christ, and the Spirit of God dwells within each one of us. And we're all individuals responsible for our own spiritual lives. And we have to make our own decisions before God. But we're also part of a body. And sometimes we forget the corporate nature of the church. That God dwells amongst his people. And this has many practical applications. For example, giving. I'm free under the law to give to whom I want to give. I mustn't be compelled by anybody. But because I'm part of a church, I want to give to the local church. Why? Because as a local church, we decide whom we will support as missionaries together, and corporately we give, we support the work of the church together, the grounds, the heating, the lighting, the salary of the pastor, other workers. And when you give to the church, it's a corporate act. It's not just, well, I'm going to decide to give to this person out there, that person out there, my individual. No, there's this corporate act in worship of giving. And that's why many churches still hold a collection on a Sunday, because it's a collective act of worship in giving. So I'd like us to consider that one week, individual and corporate. But this evening, we're going to look at Acts chapter 28, verses 17 to 31, and consider this aspect of favor and disfavor. Paul has known much favor on his way to Rome. He's come from Jerusalem as a prisoner. He's been involved in a shipwreck, but much favor. He's been spared the shipwreck. And on his way, and we're going to consider that in a minute, how he knows favor on the journey. He's able to stop off and stay with some of the brethren. And when he comes to Rome, he's not treated as the other prisoners were treated on that boat. He's given special treatment. And he has an opportunity to bring the gospel to the leaders of the Jews in Rome. And he marks a day. And they come to him and they want to hear. But he experiences the disagreement of the Jews. They dispute amongst themselves. They don't like the final part of his message when he says that because you reject, the gospel goes to the Gentiles and they will hear. You won't hear, but they will hear. And so he experiences rejection and disfavor. And yet the book ends wonderfully, verses 30 and 31, for 2 whole years, Paul has people coming to him whilst he's under house arrest, and he's preaching the kingdom of God to them. And other letters of the New Testament will let us know other things that he was doing as well during those 2 years. Now, what about you? Do you find that that's true for you? You're accepted by some, and sometimes you know real favor, maybe with neighbors, sometimes friends. They respect you, but also you live with a certain amount of opposition, disdain for what you stand for. Remember one night I was in Brazil, we were living in the church manse. It's a quiet street, really dark, and this man called me to the gate of the church. I knew him very well. And he said to me, "Andrew, I love you and I hate you." And he said the two things in the one sentence. That's what he said to me. People ought to have respect for Christians. If we know the fruit of the Spirit, if they see love, kindness, patience, if they see that we're good people, they ought to notice and there ought to be a certain amount of respect for us. But at the same time, because of the things that we stand for that are often counter-cultural, people don't like it. And certainly when we begin to speak about Jesus Christ, people don't want to hear. When I'm taking a funeral of a non-Christian, I always feel the tension. When you're at the door at the end, often people thank you and they seem to mean it. But there are others, you know, who haven't really wanted to hear what you're saying, quickly go by you, put their head down, or give you a bit of a mean look. Do you find that, the tension of being a Christian, favor and disfavor? If we look in the book of Acts, particularly the life of Paul and his friends, they really faced it. They faced riots, they faced stoning, they faced beatings, they faced imprisonment. But they also faced, or not so much faced, but received good treatment. Gamaliel stands up for Paul. Here he is, he's not a Christian, he's a great Jewish leader. He stands up for Paul and his friends. And kings, Agrippa, Felix, Festus, they actually want to hear Paul's message. And there seems to be in the book of Acts seasons. At the beginning, at Pentecost, you learn that the church had great favor with all the people, great favor with the community around them in Jerusalem. And the people around them feared them, and feared joining them, but there was favor there. But as the book of Acts goes on, you find maybe some of those same people have turned against the gospel because Paul in Jerusalem finds himself in an awful riot. So then, verses 17 to 31, favor and disfavor. Let's remind ourselves of the context. Paul is bound as a prisoner. He's come on that boat, and he and 227 passengers are saved. That's remarkable, isn't it? A shipwreck, and not one life is lost. God's favor. And it seems to be that the rest of the people on the boat were saved because of Paul. Paul was such a blessing to those people on that boat. He prayed in the midst of a storm. They'd seen the hand of God. And they were blessed because of Paul. God often does that, and he does it in unusual ways. I'm thinking of Jonah now. Jonah wasn't obedient to the Lord. But strangely, the Lord used a storm to save the mariners who were on the boat with Jonah. Somehow the presence of Jonah became a blessing to them. Where did they find themselves after that shipwreck? On Malta, the island of Malta. And again, a remarkable occurrence. A snake fastens onto the wrist of Paul. He shakes it off. The islanders assume that Paul will be a dead man, but he lives. And the islanders have seen the power of God. Publius, the governor of the island, he takes Paul and his friends into his house. He gives them a meal. What favor? This is a man who's under arrest, who's going to Caesar. And yet God is blessing him. And then as they go on their journey from Malta, the boat stops off. They've got on a different boat now, and the boat stops off. Verse 14, we found brethren, and were invited to stay with them 7 days. And so he went toward Rome. Which prisoner gets that sort of treatment? Allowed to stop off and stay 7 days with friends. I don't know if it was a holiday. I think it was a bit more than a holiday. It was a real time of rich fellowship, of rejoicing, of joy together. And then verse 16, eventually they come to Rome. The centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard, but Paul was permitted to dwell by himself with the soldier who guarded him. He was given special treatment. The Lord's hand was upon Paul. We think of Joseph, don't we? Even when Joseph was down the prison, God's hand was upon Joseph and he knew favor. When God is with you, even difficult circumstances can be used for great blessing. And we need to encourage ourselves in that. When we think that everything's going wrong and everything's going pear-shaped and things are not just working out as we want them to work out, if God is with us, he can use even those circumstances for great blessing. In the prison, Paul was to write to the Ephesians. We had never had that letter to the Ephesians, maybe. Galatians is written there. Philippians is written there. Paul will have time that perhaps he never had before to sit down and write these letters. And so you and I, when we're knowing times of difficulty and disfavor and discouragement, maybe we're ill and we can't do as much, well, maybe the Lord will use that time to use us in a different way. Lovely to hear about Lorna. She's had to go out of her home for a month. And she said, well, Andrew, tell the church this. I've taken that book, Hope, entitled book. I've read it all. I'm going to pass it on to others. And she sees it as an opportunity to witness. Well, Paul has considerable freedom, doesn't he? And what's interesting is when he calls the Jewish leaders, they come to him in that prison. And he's concerned that they've heard an ill report of him. And they're already prejudiced against the gospel. It's very easy to poison people's minds against Christianity. It's done all the time by our media. And we have to try and undo all that poisoning. But there's favor for Paul. They say this, verse 21. We neither received letters from Judea concerning you, nor have any of the brethren who came reported or spoken any evil of you. That's quite remarkable. Perhaps letters were sent, but they never got there. Perhaps they just decided to forget Paul altogether for the moment. But their minds had not been poisoned. And so the desire to hear Paul. Now, the sect, they call it, Christianity, is spoken about in a poor way by everybody. In other words, the gospel's gone everywhere. It's in Rome. Paul had already written to the Roman Christians before he got to Rome. And everybody knows about the gospel. People have been gossiping it. But a lot of bad things have been said about the Christians. But these Jews want to hear for themselves. So Paul, or they appoint a day, verse 23. They come to him in his lodgings when he's under house arrest. And from morning until evening, he preaches to them about the kingdom of God. He reasons with them. He speaks about Jesus from the law, from the first 5 books of the Bible, and from the prophets. He uses the scriptures to show these Jews that Jesus is the Christ. What favor is being given to the Apostle Paul? But, as often happens, many reject. Some are persuaded, verse 24, and others do not believe. And there's a dispute amongst them, verse 25. Paul quotes again from the Old Testament, from Isaiah. Go to this people and say, hearing you will hear and shall not understand. Seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing. Their eyes have closed. Sometimes the preacher feels like that when he's preaching, when people's eyes close and people don't seem to want to listen and people have got their heads down and rejecting. Well, you can't judge people by face value, can you? But there is a truth. There are the many people in churches whose hearts are being hardened. And the Jewish people, their hearts had been hardened. They'd heard the law, they'd heard the prophets, but they hadn't received the word of God. And so Paul says, well, you've rejected, but salvation is going to the Gentiles. Verse 28, therefore let it be known to you that the salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will hear. And verse 29, there was a great dispute amongst themselves because of it. Now, Paul's longing, his prayer for Israel was that they would be saved. That was his burden. And it must have been so hard to see many of his fellow countrymen rejecting the gospel of Christ. He saw prejudice within them. He saw nationalism within them. He saw racism within them, because they couldn't stand the Gentiles. They didn't love them. They really didn't want the nations to hear the message. And he knew that the problem was the rebellion of their human heart. But Paul doesn't give up. Though he's faced rejection, some have been persuaded, and others will hear. And people do come to him for 2 years. And so the book of Acts ends. And you might say, well, why does it end like that? Why doesn't it tell us the end of Paul's life? Why doesn't it say, and he appeared before Caesar, and Nero had him executed? Well, probably because Paul was released from prison. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 19, Paul said to the Philippians, I'm confident of this, that through your prayers and through the supply of the Holy Spirit, I will be delivered. He was sure about it. He says, I have a desire to depart and to be with Christ. I long to be with him. But I think it's much better that I stay. It's more needful. I will remain. And then when he writes his little letter to Philemon, he says to Philemon in verse 22 of that little letter, prepare a guest house for me. I'm coming, Philemon. So in all probability, Paul was released from prison, later to be put again in prison and executed. So this is the way the book of Acts ends. And we are going to, in a minute, end our live stream and have a few questions. But before that, I want to say this. Think of the life of our Lord Jesus. He lived a life of rejection. There were those who received him, his disciples, those who loved him. There were women who tended to his needs. But he was rejected by men and put upon the cross. Certain people said positive statements. Pilate said, this man, I find no fault in him, but he still washed his hands of the Lord Jesus. The centurion, after Christ's death, said, surely this was the Son of God. Surely this was a righteous man. Jesus faced rejection. And he said to us that if the world hates me, it will hate you also. But he also said, be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world. And when he speaks about Christians being persecuted, he also tells them that the Father will send the Spirit as a helper, as a comforter, as one to be with them and to guide them into all truth and to give them responses in difficult situations. So whilst our life is one of favour and disfavour, we must remind ourselves that we are never alone, that the Spirit of God is with us, and we're only following in the Master's footsteps. Paul said this about his life. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verses 8 to 10. Words that I often or sometimes think about. This is the life of the apostle, by honor and dishonor. Paul knew honor, but he also knew dishonor. By evil report and good report, many false things were said about Paul, but many good things also. As deceivers, and yet true. As unknown, and yet well known. As dying, and behold, we live. As chastened, and yet not killed. As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. As poor, yet making many rich. As having nothing, and yet possessing all things. And that's the paradox of the Christian life. It's the two sides of the coin. Often we face difficulty, persecution, But on the other hand, we know the riches of God's grace and acceptance with him and favour by God. And that's the tension in which we live.